it the other way. Sometimes I'm a little dyslexic. It's good to be with you this evening. I am especially blessed to be with you tonight and to enjoy such a rich fellowship. Masters, Pastor Chipman, thank you all for your fellowship. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for partnering with Dynamic Life Baptist Ministries. We appreciate that so very, very much. To my own pastor, we appreciate him also for the many years that we have labored together in the work of the gospel. And I'm here to say tonight that I am still trying to be like my pastor. I've not arrived yet. I appreciate the leadership that you have supplied to myself and to my family. So God bless you and your family. I do want to say something before I get too far ahead of myself, because I do want to go home tonight. So there's two things I need to do with my family tonight before I get to the word. The first thing I need to do is I need to say a shout out to my baby girl, whose birthday is today. Sister Charity Strong back there. She is 22 years of age. And I want to thank the rest of my family for being here, and one of them who's not here. I want to say thank you to Chloe, Gwendolyn Strong, and to Caleb Strong, who is my middle girl, Chloe, which is Life and Voyage, and Caleb is my dog. He's my partner. He's my friend. He's my bone of my bone. I am especially blessed to know that the grace of God has been upon my home. And lastly, but not least, I want to say I appreciate my wife, Carolyn Strong, who has been married to me for now almost 28 years. And she has put up with a lot and is still putting up with a lot. But I appreciate her encouragement to me and her prayers especially. You don't know how much I love you. I just want to say that publicly. So now I also need to mention the fellowship of the family, and she is some 2,000 miles away from here, Koinonia Strong. She lives in St. Petersburg, Florida, where she has decided to reside for the moment. We're still praying that she would be moved back to Kansas City. Would you bow with me this evening? Our Father, we thank you so much for what you have given us in your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We ask that you would make yourself known on tonight through the feeble servant that you have appointed tonight to bless your people. I pray, God, now that it would be encouraging to this evening, who are present. And then, Lord, we pray that what they have been blessed with, that they would then bless someone else. Now guide your servant, Lord, I pray this evening, and we'll praise you for the outcomes in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I want to talk to you, but I have to talk to myself as a pastor. And because the text that I'm taking tonight has to do with pastors in particularly. And a pastor who, particularly Timothy, that the Apostle Paul is writing to in 1 Timothy chapter 1, happens to be struggling with some weaknesses. And I must be honest with you tonight that over the last few years, I've been struggling with inadequacies. Inadequacy to believe that I am equipped or I am have what I need to be in ministry. Now, I'm not going to belabor all of that this evening for you, but I just want to share that with you. Because I have a sneaky suspicion that there are some other folks under the sound of my voice who might have been, might be struggling with inadequacies. You see, the Bible doesn't tell us what it tells us about us because there are no people in our day who are like Timothy. And I want to encourage and I want to strengthen the believer tonight. Because in Timothy's day, there were Christians who were in danger of moving away from the faith of the gospel. I don't know if any of you are there tonight, but I have to tell you about the text. And the text says that there were some men that were leading other believers away from the faith of the gospel. Now, lest I get too wordy, because I can get very wordy because I'm a very detail-oriented kind of person, but I try to summarize things so that I don't be too wordy. So here's what I want to say tonight. Let me give you my title so that you know what I'm preaching about this evening. Celebrating God's Saving Grace. That's the title. Celebrating God's Saving Grace. And I only have one verse of Scripture, so I won't be long. And it's verse 12, and so let me read that. In our hearing of chapter 1 of 1 Timothy. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. Now, I'm just going to stop there, and now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. First of all, I want to ask a question. Why was Paul so thankful to the Lord for being in ministry? And why believers today should also be thankful to the Lord for being saved and in ministry? Paul is thankful to Christ Jesus for his enabling grace, I call that the strength of God. For his electing grace, I call that the consideration of God. And his positioning grace, I have labeled that ministry of service. Christians should be thankful today for three major reasons and four to six underlining reasons that I want to mention tonight. The three major reasons we should be thankful to God or for God's saving grace. Number one, I've already said thankful for God's enabling grace. Thankful for his electing grace and thankful for his positioning grace. All of that to talk about the underlining. One of the things that I've learned over the years is that whenever there's a problem that we face, there are always underlining issues. And I kind of have pictured it this way. It's kind of like observing the iceberg. You only see 10% of the iceberg on top of the water, but 90% of it is underwater. So, to talk about the underlining issue of God's saving grace tonight, I need to talk about a short testimony. One of the responsibilities that I have in our church is that I am responsible for the evangelism and the outreach ministry. And we need to be able to share our testimony. Amen. And so you need to be comfortable enough to be able to do that at a moment's notice. And so I've looked at this text for the last week, maybe week and a half. I've meditated on this text. I've looked at it over and over and over again, and I see a very short testimony, but it is full. Paul gives a short testimony of his life. And that's what I want to present to you or offer to you tonight by way of encouragement. So Paul is grateful, he's thankful because before his conversion on the Damascus Road, he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent or violent man. And that's what he says is, that's what he says he was before coming to saving faith, the grace of God. He was grateful because in verse 12 that we already read, he says, I am thankful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. God's grace enabled Paul on the way to Damascus Road before his conversion. Before he was saved, he was on his way to do some things, as probably all of you all have heard before. I know you have because I know your pastor. He's preached at our church. So I know he breaks it down for you. But here's the deal. His testimony is that before salvation, this is how he was. But before he got to Damascus, he met the risen Christ. He met him in such a way that the Lord showed up in a great light that it was so bright that it was brighter than the sun. Now, that's a great light. Now, you guys may not get all excited about that yet, but hopefully you will by the time I'm done. Because at one point in time, in my own life, now Jesus didn't show up in a light that was brighter than the sun for my personal testimony, so I can't say that. But he did show up with grace and saving grace, enabling grace, the grace that was given to me to be able to receive him. That's enabling grace. Before salvation, we are not able. We're not able. We're not able to praise God in the same manner that God desires and deserves to be praised and worshiped. But some of us, before salvation, we went to church and we sang the praise and the worship. But we wasn't giving God the praise and worship that he deserved, because we just went to church. Because we didn't know the enabling grace of God. And we sang songs and we went to Sunday school and we did all the youth activities, did all of the things that good Christians do, but we didn't know the saving grace of God. And I'm saying this because I rub shoulders with people who they think because of what they do, that makes them right with God. And that they won't go to church, they give to the church, they do all those things that good Christian people are supposed to do, but they have no intimate relationship with God. Because they have not recognized the enabling grace of God that comes through Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm thankful, I have thanks to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. He didn't enable himself. So we need to recognize that just like the Apostle Paul, we didn't enable ourselves either. And so if the people that we deal with, that we rub shoulders with, they need the same enabling grace that we have. And God has to show up in a very personal way in their lives so that they receive the enabling personal grace of God. And it's no longer the duty of going to church. No, it is the privilege and the blessing and the hope and the joy of being God's child. Paul says, I have thanks. I have thanks. I didn't have thanks before. Now I have thanks. Church, I wonder sometimes if we do really have thanks. Because we don't give it. We don't express it. We don't say it. We don't let people know that we have it. Now, we may have it and we may be holding on to it kind of tightly. But do we only express it at church? Or is it expressed in the home and is it expressed outside of the home? Now, I know my children are here, and I know some of them are thinking along with me. And I know what they're thinking. Well, when do you express yours? Well, I may not express it the way you want me to, but I express it. We don't all express it the same way, but it needs to be expressed. It needs to be expressed personally. It needs to be expressed amongst the people of God. It needs to be expressed amongst the non-people of God. Or on your jobs or in your workplace, it needs to be expressed. Because we have it. And what you have, you have. And nobody can take it from you. Paul gives Timothy this testimony. Now what you, I know I need to say this for the doctors. Paul gives Timothy this testimony, this brief testimony. But why doesn't Paul give Timothy this brief testimony? Because Timothy is in danger of leaving the ministry. And Paul is trying to encourage him. He intends to encourage him, and he intends to tell him under the authority of the by the authority of God's word that Timothy, you didn't save yourself. And Timothy, you didn't put yourself in ministry. That's what Paul is trying to express to Timothy in giving his testimony. I'm sure Timothy knew Paul's testimony because Timothy and Paul hung out quite often. In ministry, they were serving in ministry together. But Paul is now writing to Timothy to encourage Timothy, to strengthen Timothy, and I'll ball analogy or illustration at this point. Paul is the hot battery. It's fully charged. Timothy's has a battery that is half charged. It's low on charge. And Paul is hooking up his battery to Timothy's battery via the cables of the Holy Ghost so that Timothy can get a boost for ministry. This is what Paul is trying to say to Timothy. Now, I don't know what that says to you, but I know somebody else is working. The Holy Spirit is working. And I'm not telling you my words. I'm telling you God's words. And so when I'm sharing God's word, I know something. God is at work. And he is doing his work through his word. And you will hear me saying these words from the Bible. And you will hear these words said from the Bible that they were directed toward Timothy, but they also land in. So the major reasons for Christians to be thankful for God's saving grace is that, number one, they are enabled by grace, God's grace. They are enabled, strengthened to believe in Christ. And then secondly, we're thankful for God's electing grace. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful. God thought about you and me. He considered you and me. He considered us when we were not able. I know y'all don't get excited too much, but just hang in there. When I was unable, didn't have the ability, to believe in God. God thought enough of me to help me believe. And God's got to help the people that you are concerned about, who you may be concerned that they're not saved. He's got to help them to believe. This is the work of God by grace through Jesus Christ. See, people have to believe in Christ in order to be saved. It's the only way that we say in the larger community of the church in America, we say that Jesus is the only way. And I know you say it here. Jesus is the only way. So if Jesus is the only way, then nobody can get to God except they go through him. So we have to pray that God will enable the people who do not believe yet to believe so that they can be saved along with us. And so it is important for us to pray that God would work in the hearts and the lives of the people who. And you know some. Amen, church? You know some people who need to be saved. Some of them may be in your family. I know I have some. Some of them may be on your jobs. I know I work with some. You know where they are. Some of them are in your community. I think we have some in our community. And it's our responsibility, it's our task as God's people to carry out the task of reaching lost people. And you have been considered by God to do this. You were elected to do it by God. You didn't elect yourself. That's the key point that's the thing I want to point out, is that we do not elect ourselves. God elects us. So he considered us to be faithful. Are you faithful? That's a question. No, you don't have to answer out loud. But that's a question on the floor. Are you faithful? Because God elects us to be faithful. Timothy, God elected you to be faithful. You can't quit. I don't care how inadequate you feel, you can't quit. I know we sometimes feel that we are not all that, and rightfully so. But you cannot let your feelings dictate what you do in the ministry. We feel all sorts of ways. I know I do. I'll just speak for me. All sorts of feelings and thoughts running through my head. We say this is war. This is a battle. It's a spiritual fight. Well, that happens in the brain, which is connected to your heart. All of you is connected up. Your brain is connected to your being, your very being, the being of your heart, which is connected to your feelings. And so when you think, you feel. We feel stuff. And sometimes it is not from God. I'm just trying to share with you this pastor's feelings. Now, my pastor and I talk regularly? Well, we haven't talked so regularly in the last 2 years. Am I right about it, brother? Because I've been going through the fire. And there's been lots of changes to my life. Some I'm thankful for and some I'm not so thankful for. But I can thank God anyhow, in spite of how I feel. Pastor, I appreciate the patience that you have. I'll say it publicly to him so that everybody know my business. Now, I have gotten to the point where I can share my business publicly. Everybody ain't there. But when you can share it publicly, you have now served notice on the devil. And now the whole congregation can hold me accountable. But when you don't go public, you're not accountable to everyone. And I know something about accountability. If I don't make myself accountable, I will not be accountable. Now, moving to the next point, thankful for God's positioning grace. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. Positioning grace is God putting you where he wants you. You don't put you where you want you. You need to serve where God wants you. You need to serve according to how he has gifted you. If you serve according to how he has not gifted you, you will be miserable. Because you won't serve with joy. You won't serve with faithfulness. You won't serve with love. You won't do it. Because you're not in your position. Now, it's one thing to not be in your position. It's another thing to be in your position and you got issues. Now, I'm going to say something publicly here, Brother Pastor, so pray with me. I realized over the last series of talking about the priorities of Christ in the daily issues of life that I had misplaced some priorities. And here we go, public. That I had done something that even my seminary professor told me not to do, and I remembered it. He told me that you should never let anything get in the way of what God has called you to. And I did it. And I did it unknowingly. It was unaware. I was unaware. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. But when other stuff gets in the way of you spending time in the Word and prayer, you got a missed priority. And that's why, Brother Pastor, I've been having some problems. But I'm no longer going to do that. We got to get the priorities straight. So whatever I have to neglect, I think my pastor has said this, the Holy Spirit brings pastor's words back to mine. Whatever I have to neglect, I will neglect now to get the priorities straight. So that God gets the glory. And he is praised because he is worthy of our praise. And he is the one who has positioned me and put me into ministry. So I have to prioritize what he has put me in. and I've got to work on it. I got to work on my field, Brother Jim. And I got to work on everything in it. I didn't forget the message. I preached it. I better not forget it. And so now, we need to be grateful because before our conversion, we were not able people. We were not able to do anything that pleased God. Number two, we ought to be thankful because God strengthened us to be saved and to be in ministry. We need to be thankful because the Lord considered us faithful. We didn't consider ourselves faithful. And some of us still have some doubts about that, whether or not we are faithful or not. And I tell you, when you get missed priorities, you will think, am I really faithful to what I've been called to do? And I've been saved to do? And we need to be grateful because the Lord put us into service, into ministry. He is the one who has saved us. He is the one who puts us into the family of God. He gives you a loving local church to equip you so that you can do service. And now we got to serve. And we got to serve with joy, not grief. If you're serving with grief, you may be in the wrong place. Or you might just need to renew your joy. And then we need to be thankful because he showed mercy on us. God showed mercy on us. Paul was grateful because he realized the Lord had mercy on him while he was in error and unbelief. While he was still in error and unbelief, God had mercy on him. I think that's what he says here in verse number 13. He says, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. But the next verse is the hallelujah shouting verse. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. You see, God considered our inability, helpless state, when we were unsaved. You know, he's still considering our helpless state, even after you get saved, because he knows all about your weaknesses. He knows all about what you're struggling with. He knows all about the things that you feel inadequate about, all of the disappointments, all of the failures. He knows. And he has considered you, and he is still considering you now, even with all of your struggles. You see, we live in a messed up world today, and you all know it. It's jacked. It is really jacked. And people are in a lot of confusion. And just to realize that people are very confused today is enough reason for us to pray daily that God would remove the confusions. Because there are some people who are so confused about what Christianity is, they're lost in confusion. And I talk to some of them daily. And so, church, we need to be praying. We need to be a praying church. God, save them. You save me, save them. Help me to be a good testimony. Now, to close with this, I wanted to point this out from the text. I know I'm not going verse by verse this evening, but I only have one verse. Verse number 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of everyone's acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul says, that's me. Number one. Then he says, verse 16, however, for this reason, I obtained mercy. I was a sinner, and that's why Jesus came, and also for the same reason, I obtained mercy, because Jesus came to save me, to save us. Now notice, he says, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Amen. Now, saints, if you don't have anything else to live for, you now have everything to live for. Amen. Because you're saved, and you're saved for a purpose and a reason. And it's so that somebody else will get saved. And you are the pattern that God has brought to himself and shown patience with, so that somebody else can see and hear your testimony of God's saving grace so that they can be saved. Amen. But we got to tell it. You got to tell it. You got to share it with those folks. And I know they may not want to hear it. I know it. Quite frankly, I didn't want to hear it to begin with. So if it happened with me, I guess that's why it's happening. You know, I don't guess. That's why it's happening with others who are still not believing. God's got to make us believers. He's got to make them believers. He's got to help them. That's grace. Grace is a helper. It enables us to believe God. Well, Timothy, You're the struggling pastor. But Timothy, you can't quit. And if you're here tonight and you're thinking about quitting, it's not time and it never will be time. So you might as well suck it up, Buttercup. And let's get with God's program. Let's get with his plan. Let's get with his purpose. Let's get with his positioning you where he wants you to be. And let's do that. Let's continue in the things that you have heard and you have learned and you've been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Will you pray with me? God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity that we had to share with your people. And God, all of your people are tonight, but you know, And you just sent me here, Lord, to share with them some of my own struggles and to encourage them and to strengthen them in the work that you have called us to, you have saved us for. You have considered us to be faithful in. And so, God, I pray tonight that your people have been strengthened. They have heard a word from you, and they are renewed in the spirit of their minds. We thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for how you work, and we thank you for your marvelous grace and your wonderful grace. And God, we thank you for the love that you have demonstrated and the faith that you have demonstrated to us and that we have obtained. Thank you for all of that. In Jesus' name, amen.